5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
What relationship do you have to being an all-American fuckboy?
I think acknowledging that I've been that person. I'm acknowledging the level of hedonism that I allow for myself for a long time. Yeah.
Damn, this is so crazy.
Sex was sport. Sex was sport. And
damn, it's really wild to confess it.
I just want somebody there to like play the role of girlfriend without going all the way.
Duckworth in the building.
And this is Duckworth.
Little mama with a kid.
John with Defiant Artist. Duckworth.
All-American fuckboy.
I've been so like, I dropped an album called All-American Fuckboy. Like, I thought it was going to be like bad for me.
But it'd be like more interest. And I'd be like.
And it's like, I think I had to start looking at female attention and female validation as a drug. And I am an addict. Like, I have to look at it that way at this point.
To have all the information that you do, to have the trust of a vulnerable population who lets you in because you don't appear to be like everybody else, mm-hmm. to just turn out to be like everybody else.
Yeah.
Why do it?
All right.
Hi. The door was open. Is this okay?
Yeah, no, it's
okay,
fine.
Okay, cool.
Good to meet you in person.
I am so excited to chat with you, and this is when I talked on the phone with your manager. Mm. We had all these great ideas.
Yeah.
So I was like hoping that you were gonna be down to talk about Permanent Vacation.
Oh, yes. That's what was the hardest song I think I've ever written in my life, so.
Really?
Yeah.
You believe it's magic.
My dad cheated on my mom when they were married, and they got divorced when I was like 8. But, kind of describing like the things that he was doing and how it affected my mom and how it affected me. And then that was the first verse. And then the second verse, I describe a story of me cheating on a partner from my past. And at the end, it draws comparison of what he did and what I did, which was like really just revealing. And
then you made an album about it.
And then I made an album about it. Yeah, All-American Fuckboy. Yeah.
I can't wait to talk about it. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Do you know what I always want to do? If we just never have the. No, let's go talk about it.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, let's go. Come on. This episode is sponsored by loversbyshan.com, a suite of services designed to help you enjoy and refine the journey of loving and being loved. The starring guest of this episode is the incredible, genre-defying, creative visionary Duckworth, who we genuinely blast in our house and our car all the time. He has a brand new single out right now with a new video called Permanent Vacation. Thank you for having us in your home.
Yeah, no problem. I haven't had people in my home in a while.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I live by myself, but I've also just been like on like research mode. So like, I haven't had much of anyone here.
Is that a real statement?
What do you mean?
Like, you don't have gals come by or friends or?
If there's any gals, I'm just going to theirs at the moment.
I say that because this actually reminds me of two places that I've lived before, both really incredible times in my life. Mm. And the second time, I lived alone. It was a studio apartment. It's not as nice as this, but it was just, it felt like me.
Yeah.
Like, this really feels like you.
It is.
And so it's nice to bring people into you because you don't have to explain yourself as much.
Mm-hmm. This is definitely like you're in my brain.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, pretty much. Why do I wear a cardigan? Jesus Christ. I want to give a look, but it's like, worst day.
I'm so thrilled to talk to you. We're actually really big fans in our house, and not just me, not just my husband, but my kids as well, too. The work that you create is, the art that you create is
honest and impactful. It's fun, and it's different. And congratulations on the new album.
Thank you.
What is an all-American fuckboy?
It's a wonderful question. I think because of how society is and like how the, you know, patriarchy is, a lot of men are like allowed and like rewarded for being, I have another word for it. I probably shouldn't say it on here.
Say it, whisper it at least.
We say being a fuck nigga. But but pretty much, yeah, a person who just like has no regard for like, I guess like women's like emotions and kind of just juggles women and kind of has these habits of ghosting or like gaslighting or anything to their benefit, to their sexual benefit and pleasure. And yeah, just no regard for anyone else, I would say. Sometimes sex is more game. And then like you just get into this whole like cycle of like, damn, I just really wanna, you know, have sex with this person. And then you do all the things, you like, love bomb and you
yes.
do all the stuff, you know? And like to the counterpart, they're like, oh, like he must really like me. So they're being fooled. And then once that, once you have that moment, you have sex, then like that man comes back into like reality and doesn't have the same feelings, or doesn't have the same pursuit, and that all like dissipates.
Yes.
And then the other person's left like wondering why they're not like texting back, or why they're not calling, or all that attention that they gave those weeks or months before, what happened to it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It went somewhere else.
It went somewhere else. It, yeah, after I'm really trying to find nice words here. After the orgasm, it's mm-hmm. a better way of putting it.
Are you reclaiming the word? Are you separating yourself from it? Are you owning it? Like, what relationship do you have to being an all-American fuckboy?
I think acknowledging that I've been that person. I'm acknowledging the level of hedonism that I allow for myself for a long time. Even to now, like, I'm quite the lustful human being. You know, I'm very, like, I would say I'm quite sensual in general, you know? But, yeah, I still, in my brain, the amount of like sexual hunger and sexual drive is like very strong. And maybe because I don't have a particular partner, it can just be like everywhere, you know? But I think I had to come to terms with that. I was a person who was like handling myself in that way of so hard to admit, literally. Yeah.
This is so crazy.
Sex was sport. And damn, it's really wild to confess it. I'm being public with it.
Yes.
So that a conversation can start between men, you know, because we also as men be like, yeah, bro, you know what I'm saying? I got this one, I got that one, woo. And I think there's greater things in life than that to achieve.
What is a father wound?
It kind of worked in two ways. I didn't trust men, which is why I only have like 3 male friendships right now. So I didn't trust men, but I also wanted men to be around. I wanted older men to be around, you know? I was in Boy Scouts for like 10 years and that really helped out. That kind of filled that, or mended that wound a bit. But before that, because I was in church, I would always be like looking at the older men and being like, damn, I just want some male figure to step up and want to like play a role in my life, you know? I feel like, especially as black men, a lot of our idols was like rappers, basketball players, stuff like that. People who were like seen in the public eye, and like those type of archetypes or characters, especially like rappers, they were like more equivalent to like pimps, players, gangsters, hustlers, all that stuff. And like, they always had an array of women around. So it's like, we wanted to achieve the goal of being the players and everything. And I don't know, I think that set us back a lot. Like, I wish that there was, I don't know, a rocket scientist. Like, I wish Neil deGrasse Tyson was like around when I was much younger. So I could be like, oh, there's different archetypes of black men that I can like look up to and like have goals, set goals to be that type of person, you know? But for some reason, it's always like, especially in like in the hood, I'm from South Central. So especially in the hood, it was like either like the gang members or the rappers or the drug dealers or anybody in that area, you know? That's, I think for me, that's the all-American portion of it, because America, like we discussed before, is like the mecca of entertainment, the mecca of like hip hop and rap, and in hip hop and rap, that's a very like reoccurring trope, is the pimps and players. So yeah.
I remember that I read this book that's called The Art of Seduction. It's a Robert Greene book, and there is a type of seducer called the ardent rake, which is a fuckboy, but it gave a exact formula for like what to do, how to behave that way, and why it works. And at the time that I read it, I had just come out of a really toxic relationship with, he's Canadian, so he's an all-Canadian fuckboy. It's an international phenomenon.
Yeah, fuckboys. I remember,
because I was listening to an audiobook, I literally had to pull over the car and I was screaming.
Yeah.
It felt like I was in his room and I looked under his bed and I discovered like a potion that was being given to me.
Yeah.
And I was like, how did he learn this?
Yeah.
So now I get to ask a real fuckboy in real life. How do you learn?
Recovering. The core element of being a fuckboy is manipulation.
There's something called, did you ever watch It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
Yeah, he had
this thing called Dennis Theory,
which
was, this is the, let me see if I can pull it all out. Demonstrate value, which means you show the person why you're valuable. We talk about art, you talk about science, you open their mind. Mario talked a lot about opening people up spiritually, like showing them a new side to like looking at the world. It's like, that's the killer. Like, if I can open you up spiritually, I know I'm good. So demonstrate value, engage physically, nurture dependence, neglect. I can't remember where I was, and then S was separate. Can you pull it up for me?
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, what was I?
Inspire hope.
So demonstrate value, engage physically, nurture dependence, neglect, inspire hope, and separate.
That's pretty spot on. That's pretty damn spot on. Wow. The inspire hope is maniacal. That's insane, but yeah. Yeah, the Dennis Theory is, that's the whole fuckboy Bible right there for you.
And it works.
Yeah, and it works,
What's the downside of it? Because if you use it, it works getting you attention. Yeah. If you admit to using it, you actually get more attention. You get more of that thing.
Yeah.
But it's still not something that you want to use anymore, that you recommend other men to use. Why?
I feel like when I was younger, I didn't get enough, one, my dad left when I was like 8. My mom and dad got divorced. So it was primarily the women in my life, in my family, in my life that raised me. Like my mom, my sister, my aunties and everything. But like in my house, it was just my mom and my sister. My mom worked a lot, cause she had to feed 2 kids, you know? And then older sister, they don't really, it's like a, you know, with qualm with their little brothers and stuff like that. So, you know, she was in her own world. So I feel like I didn't get enough like attention from the folks around me. So a lot of times I like kind of went to my own world, but I feel like one of my biggest issues in my adulthood is like feeling like I need female validation or validation from female attention a lot. And like, I mean, crazy enough that I have the occupation of a musician, you know, because I'm like, it's nothing
there you
but.
Go. Yes.
It's nothing but like, well, male and female attention rather. But what I seek was specifically female attention. So it kind of worked in so many different ways. It can be from like simple as just like flirting or like, you know, sliding in DM or saying a couple things here and there. Yeah, the problem was like, after like everything that was there that I felt, it just dissipated. And even for that, like I'm still understanding that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's weird to think about, and it's not something I'm like the most stoked on, you know, or happy about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's important to acknowledge that it's, again, a part of culture conditioning,
yeah.
a part of what you saw worked, and also it did get you the result that you wanted. But just like us, it's like fast food, right? Like it gets you the food,
mm-hmm.
but it's not the best or healthiest.
Yeah.
But it's quick, it's accessible, and it's obviously positioned in certain places for a systemic reason. But like
yeah.
it was fast food attention, and it was providing what you didn't have when you were 8 years old, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like that attention, that validation from women, and a lot of it.
Yeah.
And unfortunately too, like sometimes the more that you play into the game or do the habit, the more attractive that you become.
Mm.
So it's like, well, how could it be so bad if this is what everybody wants?
Is that a question or is that like a statement or is that both?
Maybe a reflection point, but you can you could do what you want with that.
I would say even in that, I think the, cause what was the, how did you phrase it? The last time
How can something be so bad when it seems to be what everybody wants?
Okay. Because it always ends in pain. I would have these moments with, it will always end up in them being like hurt by my actions, by my distance, by my change in like communication or habits or anything like that. Like it would just drastically change. And because they're intelligent women, they will understand why. So it's just like, damn, like I thought he was different, but he's just another fuckboy. And I think that continuous pattern of hurting somebody, if you have any type of empathy or conscious, you know, you'd be like, oh, like this really sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that made me want to go to therapy and want to figure out like what is going on and why do I feel this way, you know? And also like the level of guilt that you feel from it is like so heavy. Like it just pulls me out. Like I can't, my daily operations are not smooth. I cannot handle my agendas because it's just, I'm so heavy in thought and it's like this continuous like loop in my brain, you know, of like, damn, like, I don't know. It's just the pain is just very like heavy.
Yes.
But it's not, I guess it's not my pain, it's their pain and I feel their pain. Yeah, and it's very like, consuming.
You know what's so interesting about this is we chatted with Mario and his thing was talking about mother wounds.
Mm-hmm.
And for him, into the same cycle. And similarly, he was like, it was never about the sex.
Yeah.
It was like, I wanted them to want and need me.
Mm.
And so I'd always take it past that level.
Yeah.
Even when they were like, it could just be sex, I would delude them and be like, no, like there's something more here.
Yeah.
Even in the back of his mind, knowing it's really not going to be. But
yeah.
for him, when the women felt pain or when he saw the pain in his face, he almost felt a nothingness.
Mm.
And that, he said, kind of linked to the fact that he was still so angry at his mom. I read this book once, it was an old book from like the 60s that was talking about men who have mother wounds. And they were saying that there is no guilt, that there is almost like, there's a deserving, that the feminine deserves this pain, it deserves this.
Ooh, I think in those moments, yeah, for sure. In those moments, I could see a woman just bawling in front of me and not feel anything. And honestly, you know, there's pleasure that came with once she says, I'm not doing this again, it's done with it, reeling her back in. It was a pleasure that came with it. It was like this, like, it was even more powerful every time after time that it happened. And yeah, I'm guilty of that in the past. For sure. And it definitely comes from feminine wounds. Yeah, for sure.
And now that you can look at it the different lens, like what's the real why? Because it seems just Thanos evil.
The shift for me, I think, was like losing my mom.
But yours is a totally different experience because it's kind of the same pattern, the same behavior,
yeah.
but a completely different response.
I'm glad you said that too, because that's literally what links it. Because watching my dad cheat on my mom and seeing the pain that she felt, like, and how it affected her for years after, like during and then after, it was like insane. Like I know she didn't trust men for a long time and she was like, I don't even want to think about even entertaining a man until you guys are like in college. 4 years go by, college is done, still not dating men. 4 years go by after that, like it took her a long time to like trust another man and actually want to like build something. And like, I would say that was probably like 20 years or so.
Wow.
And
but now she good?
Oh, she good now.
Yeah, okay, good.
She good now. Yes, yeah, mom. No, my stepdad is amazing. Wonderful man. But yeah, it took her that long. I know that pain. I looked in her eyes like many days and just seeing like that weight on her. So that's funny, I never made that connection. I'm just very much me, and I'm very much like fine with like my feminine energy and everything. But like a lot of dudes feel like they need to like be like super aggro and like masculine. Like they're like walking squares. Like hetero cis men have a rational fear of being like being fucked by another man.
Yeah.
I think the hetero male experience can sometimes be a bit cubicle. I'm just gonna say cubicle. Nobody's used that in that way, I think. So I'm just gonna say, yeah, it's a bit cubicle.
Yeah.
Anyways, and like I think sometimes I'm just too colorful to fit in that cubicle sometimes. So yeah.
I want to share a story, and then I want to get back to that because you're such an interesting contradiction to me. Yeah. And I love that. Contradictions are very sexy.
Yeah.
They're very seductive.
Mm-hmm.
But the we were talking about this with like how deep that fear of getting fucked by a man is.
Yeah.
I don't even remember the story, but he was talking with his friends about sometimes when you're eating a girl out,
mm-hmm.
if you find your butt in the air, you're like, put it down. And you're like, what is on the other side of that? Do you think a dude's gonna bust through the door?
Oh, no, but it's more of a power thing. Cause it's like, okay, for me, yeah, I've definitely been like, damn, I'm tooted. Like, I need to put this ass down. But it's like, it's not like from a sense of like, another dude gonna come in like, bruh, free meal. Like, it's not that. It's just, I'm just imagining like, you know what I'm saying? Shorty got her legs open and stuff, and you like going crazy. And she's like, she's enjoying it. And she look up and your ass is just tooted. And it's just like, damn, I don't know if I want her to see me this vulnerable. You know what I'm saying? I still got my socks on and shit. I do that too, by the way. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not ready yet to be that vulnerable. So yeah, having my ass tooted may be a little bit too much. But in other places, yeah, I can see that. I can see that. And it's like you getting the breeze on your ass and stuff like that. Yeah, I can see that.
Well, because masculinity is the tightrope, and it's something you have to audition for every day. I love that this is hitting for you.
I'm sorry. Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah. It becomes this thing that men have to wake up every day and audition for. And they audition for it even when they're having sex with women.
Mm.
Like, they still have to prove that they're straight. They still have to prove that they're a man.
Yeah.
And the contradiction for you, for me, comes from, okay, so you have a dad who left really early on.
Mm.
That hurt you, you knew how that felt.
Yeah.
And you saw the impacts of your mom. And you were like, I don't ever want to see my mom go through this, but I'll put other women through this.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, you didn't grow up with a male figure. So traditionally that kind of guy would be trying to overperform masculinity to try to get the approval of men.
Yeah.
But somehow here you are, fluid and completely fine.
Yeah.
So yeah, just make those connections for me. This episode is sponsored by me, because why not? Did you know that Lovers is more than a podcast? It's an entire suite of tools designed to help you reach your intimate potential. Like, there's Shayi. You can ask my AI anything, or as I call her, Shayi. Sign up for my weekly newsletter or check out my free resource library of quizzes and worksheets at loversbyshan.com. One more? Join the Lovers community for $20 a month. This is a space to connect with others who share our passion. Book one-on-one time with me, join weekly classes, and even be a part of the podcast. Okay, that's a whole lot of information, but here's the bottom line. If you are ready to enjoy the journey of creating a euphoric, intimate life as much as you're going to enjoy the destination, then head over to loversbyshan.com, and I'll see you there. You didn't grow up with a male figure, so traditionally that kind of guy would be trying to overperform masculinity to try to get the approval of men.
Yeah.
But somehow here you are, fluid and completely fine.
Yeah.
So yeah, just make those connections for me.
I don't know.
Because the math should be different. Then you probably were like such a sniper to women because you're not the stereotypical man's man. You have this sensitivity towards women because of your mom.
Mm-hmm.
And even though you didn't maybe have tons of time with them, you were still raised in an all-female household. So that had to have impacted your personality a little bit to allow you to connect with women more. Is that true or false?
Yeah, you nail on the head. Sniper is that has been the main interest in me, I suppose, from women, especially because I date a lot of queer women, like 95% of the time. I don't think I've dated a straight woman in a while, to be honest. But like, I think it's so funny. I'm really putting all my business out here. Like, it's really gonna be. They're gonna just.
No, it's just us. What are you talking about?
They ain't gonna listen to all. No, it's fine. I think I'm the exception to a lot of, especially to like queer women, because I am like, I guess, very accepted of the of like my feminine, you know, and because I am like, yeah, caring and like I listen and all those things. But yeah, sniper. Yeah, I see what you mean. Anyway,
well, yeah, when did you know that? I guess that's like, connect the dots for me there then, because like, to have all the information that you do, to have the trust of a vulnerable population who lets you in because you don't appear to be like everybody else, to just turn out to be like everybody else.
Yeah.
Why do it?
I feel whole being close to women. Sometimes it's not even really the sex. It's just the closeness, you know? I feel like a lot of times certain women that I interact with kind of play the girlfriend role in that sense. And then plus the fear of commitment that I've had of, the fear of commitment makes me feel like I can't commit to one person. So even in previous relationships, I always like, hey, like, can we, you know, do the poly thing? I don't know if I can just commit to one person. And that's been my request for a while now, you know? But also I haven't been in like a real like girlfriend-boyfriend relationship since 2021 and stuff. But yeah, I think since then it's been a, I just want somebody there to like play the role of girlfriend without going all the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like even, I mean, cause I'm not, I keep it a buck, like, a lot of times I'm in this home, like I feel like very alone, you know? Even this morning, like cleaning up frantically and like, you know, having to handle other agendas, I'm like, damn, if I had a partner, like these can be shared, you know what I'm saying? Life would be like so much easier, you know? But it's just like, I'm just taking a lot of things on my back, which is fine, no complaints and stuff. But ideally, the goal is to have a relationship, to have a partnership, to, and like, I don't even need poly at the moment. Like, I'm fine with monogamy, you know? But I think the part that, the wall that I keep hitting is like, damn, can I commit to one person? That's like, dog, that is the question of the century, is can I commit to one person? And like, I would say yes, but then there's a portion, there's two ways. It, you know, I feel like because I'm very much like so excitable, especially as like human beings, and there's so many, I feel like there's human beings pop up like plants or something, like like really cool and special ones, and they're always, you know. But I think the difference is me disconnecting myself from greed and feeling like if I run through a garden and I see a pretty flower, I gotta pick it and put it in my pocket. Like I had to learn how to just appreciate from afar and be like, that's a really nice flower, continue walking, you know? I think that's been the biggest lesson, you know? And I think I've gotten to a better place. But even recently, like, I don't really believe that, like, how can I say this? I always question the word test, especially if like God, universe, whatever you wanna call it. But I guess there is like checkpoints where it's just like, okay, you say you're ready for this next level, I'm going to allow these certain challenges to happen in your life. And based upon how you handle the challenges, it will let you know and let me know, universe, God, whatever, if you're ready to get to that next level. And I guess maybe because, you know, God is me, it's letting me know, you know? And yeah, like even recently, like I've been so, like, I dropped an album called All American Fuckboy. Like, I thought it was gonna be, like, bad for me. Like, completely, you know? And, like, I just been at the crib just researching and being a nerd and, like...
Bad for you how?
Oh, like, you know, you girls wouldn't, or women wouldn't wanna even deal with me because, you know, I'm confessing everything. But then, I guess there's a portion of it that women actually like men who are honest and who are accountable and who are like making an effort to change rather than just like hiding everything and just, you know, saving face. You know, I think it's maybe better possibly for women to know what a man is going through and then maybe in another way feel like they can like help in certain ways. I'm just assuming.
Yeah.
But it hasn't been a deterrent. Me saying like, oh, I just dropped an album called All American Fuckboy because like I was cheating on my, in a previous relationship, I was cheating. I was doing this, I was doing that. You know, dealing with generational trauma, like all these different things. Like I would say that and I say it, you know, chest out, you know, and like, you know, however they take that information, how they take that information. And I'm like, okay, like this would be like the thing that would dead it. Like she'd be like, all right, bye. Like, I'm good. But it'd be like, more interest. And I'd be like, and I mean, cool, like great, you know? But I say all that to say, the main challenge, or I guess the most recent pattern has been more attention from women. I'm digging through the trenches right now because I'm super aware of like all the patterns. I'm super aware of like how this one thought can turn to another thought, can turn to an action, can turn to me meeting up with somebody and then it just like continues. Like I'm so aware of it down to like literally like the most minuscule thoughts. I'm like, that's fuckboy shit. And then it's always like the double path of like, you can go this way or that way, you know? And it's like, I think I had to start looking at female attention and female validation as a drug. And I am an addict. Like I have to look at it that way at this point, because I have to take it so serious. If I don't take it seriously to that effect, whereas a person who is addicted to like alcohol or any drug, then I'm just gonna keep doing the same thing, you know, over and over again. But yeah, that has been a challenge. Even like for my birthday, I just went to Japan by myself, you know, and it was hard. The language barrier. You're just being there by yourself and everything, not being able to talk to anybody much. And then it was fun, but I feel like I needed that because I just needed to just see what it feels like to just be on my own and not feel like I need to have somebody with me all the time or feel like I need some type of attention, you know? Mm-hmm. But it's hard. It's very hard.
Thank you for sharing all that. That was so beautiful. Yeah. And I was smiling midway through because I was like, oh, like I totally get why people would fall for this. And you're not trying to trick anybody, but I just mean like what the packaging of like, I really could use somebody, but I'm afraid of intimacy. I have like a troubled past, but I really have a hole that needs to be filled and I want to be loved. But I have a habit of getting a little bit of that and then dipping once it feels too real. Mm. But if I'm hearing that, I'm like, oh, well, he just needs my brand of real, you know? Yeah. Okay, well, yeah. And I see it, you know, because yeah. You have identified how you want a partner and why it would make sense and where that need is coming from. But then I'm going to make the argument, there's probably tons of women who were qualified and great who wanted to get that spot.
Yeah.
And why didn't they?
Because of my own fear. That's simply it. Just hit the wall and just like, oh, I can't do this. And then I like... start like slowing down on communication and all the other things.
Yeah.
I would do, yeah. It would just be that fear. Cause I can't think of anything else. Personally, I feel like I'd be a wonderful boyfriend. Like literally, I'd be a great partner, you know? And probably even like a great dad, but it's just a fear.
That's a fascinating part to me because again, if I think about in Mario's case, the fear for him was I'm gonna love you and you're gonna end up being just like my mom. Mm. There will never be enough for me. And his mom passed before they even really could have that connection. So that never even got healed for him. Yeah. And that was the fear. But in your circumstance, based on your trauma and your past, the scariest part of the relationship is the man. And you have been the scariest part in all the relationships. Mm-hmm. So what's there to be afraid of when you're the villain?
So funny, because you really just keep, it's the Mario thing too. The Mario thing keeps putting like it all to perspective. The fear is becoming my father and repeating what my father does.
But when you realize that fear, what's on the other side of it, it's the pattern to do it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and to hurt anyone, like how my father hurt my mom. A good amount of it.
But explain to me, if you're afraid of it, why you do it?
These are great questions. It's very simple questions. I don't know. It's a very like out of mind, out of body. It's like sometimes I like pull out of my body and I watch myself do the things, kind of like an avatar in a game or like a Sims or something. Like I'm watching it happen and I just observe myself. I'm like, Jesus Christ. And it's like, it's like having a lack of control, a lack of discipline, and just letting like my urges like kind of pull me into this, into this pattern. I think the biggest thing for me is developing a high level of discipline for myself, you know? And maybe because I'm an artist, like if I worked a different job, maybe if I was like an accountant, or maybe if I had like kids or like I had more responsibilities, then it would be a little bit more like defined, and I would need to have more discipline. But like, I think the life of an artist, you're allotted to live freely in a sense, and you have to develop discipline for yourself, you know?
I know there's something like so human, and that's where, I mean, the word addiction like resonates with me too. Mm. And there are a lot of people who, experts who battle with the idea of love addiction or sex addiction, and they don't believe those are real things, or porn addiction. And I think of addiction really just like you're on a cycle and you know how it's gonna go and you don't like it, but you can't get off.
Yeah.
And that's the difference, because it's not an addiction if you like it, right? Like if you masturbate 40 times a day and you still get all your shit done, you still, you know, honor your other priorities, and it like is an enjoyable part of life. Why is that a bad thing?
Mm.
Other than the fact that society told you that like there's a certain amount of this you're supposed to have or a certain amount of that.
Yeah.
And even to your point about polyamory, there's nothing bad about having a non-scarcity mindset towards love.
Yeah.
Like just because I love you fully doesn't mean I can't love him fully and love them fully. Like I don't believe that it's a cup that I'm pouring out of. So like all those concepts are like fine. It's just that when you're not happy doing it, and that's maybe where the fear isn't even as strong as the cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's scary.
Yeah. I mean, I would say even in that example, I would be doing all the things and then I wouldn't get work done. I would be like very much distracted. I'd be pulled away from like my daily agendas of recording, finishing the verse in a song, or like cutting up something for social media. Or whatever it may be, you know? Or making it to a meeting on time.
Yeah.
That's a big one. That's a big one. It's just like I'm like laid up. Or like a lot of times I feel like I just gotta masturbate before going to a meeting. It's literally just like, it's a craving. Like I'll be like finished eating my cereal and I got like, okay, let me get in the car real quick because I got like 30 minutes to get there, and it's just like, oh wow, I am really horny. Like, I really need to knock this out.
Yeah.
And then, yo, wasted time. And then now I'm just, like, having to, like, call somebody and be like, hey, like... That didn't happen this morning, by the way.
Okay.
That didn't happen this morning at all. But, yeah.
This would actually be the one place that you could be like, hey, I really have to masturbate, or I really have to get, like, a nut off. Like, I need half an hour. And I would understand.
Yeah, that's so funny. I often think about what would it be like if, like, we were allowed to be, like, just... brutally honest. Like, how would I know life would be so much different, you know? I feel like we'll be able to adapt to the honesty and then just move accordingly. You know, people would be able to make better decisions about themselves, but I think it's the lack of information that we have between people that is so you just kind of stay in this like this delusional mind state, or not even delusional, you're just being led on by what you think to be truth, but it's really just like full lies.
Well, with the work that I'm doing, I'm definitely trying to move closer to that world. And I definitely know with the work that you're doing, you're trying to move closer to that world of just honesty.
I think that men are like due for an evolution. I keep saying this, but it's, I probably should keep saying this because it's so important. I feel like we've been kind of left behind in the evolution of growth because we've been allowed to, you know, we've been spoiled from society. So I feel like men don't feel like they need to, but it's like, on the other side, it's just so beautiful, you know? Like, imagine men not feeling like they need to solve, like, political issues and, like, disagreements in politics in general by, like, killing, like, innocent people in their country. I feel like that shit is so, like, Neanderthalish, but it's very reflective of, like, toxic masculinity and, like, lack of evolution, and, like, mental evolution, I suppose. I just think that we're, even just like this world, like literally the main issue of this world is men. I feel like there's so much technology that will like pull us out of this whole global warming like crisis that we're in, but it's because of like ego and greed, like they're gonna just keep drilling holes for oil and fossil fuel and all this stuff. And we have technology that we don't need this anymore. But it's like, it's, I feel like it's reflective of like, toxic masculinity. I really feel like that way. I do. And I feel, even it's as simple as the fuckboy shit, where it's like, if we weren't so distracted, or as my homies like to say, getting draws. If we weren't so distracted with like being these like player type characters and like juggling women, I feel like we would be capable of doing amazing things. And it's, I don't know. I think it makes it very hard to not have sex in the mind. Sex is everywhere, but it's a part of the construct, of course, to keep us controlled. It's just to like keep us in this lower state. And it's like, if we can keep humans here, then just manipulate them so much easier so they can just keep consuming and keep working. Like, I really believe that. I know that's like common knowledge, but like I've seen it used in my life. I'm so much more easily like swayed when I'm like operating from down here versus like if I'm like, if it's a bit higher up, like, ooh, like I'm a problem, you know? Like the amount of things I've been able to accomplish being like higher, it's been like amazing.
Have you got to try a connection from up here?
I tried. I think another part of it is, this isn't like me being facetious, but I think a lot of times women want sex from me. It's like, yeah, I really tried like a lot of ways in certain relationships, keep it platonic, but I think it's frustrating for them because they're just like, well, usually like if I do this and that, you know, bruh, ripping his clothes off, you know? And I'm just like, let's watch a documentary, you know? And I think it may be frustrating in certain interactions I've had. But yeah, like.
Well, there's an unlearning for them as well.
Yeah.
There's an unlearning of like what validation and what actually being liked by a man can feel like. And it can be sex too, but there is a different energy when you're even approaching sex from here versus from down there.
Yeah.
There is a different intention to it. There's a different intention to the aftercare, to the way that we lead up to it. And so it doesn't have to be removed from it. I think people often like use sex as like the focal thing. I was talking about this with celibacy, that people think that if I just stop having sex, then I'll stop all the behaviors that I don't like about myself, whether that be people pleasing or manipulation. And it's like, that's not going to stop it.
No, not at all.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's whether always deeper.
Right, it's so deeper. Much deeper.
Yeah, it's always deeper, for sure. But yeah.
To bring things full circle to today, what does your love life look like today? And I'm asking that question also in reflection of knowing that your sex life and your love life impacts your work life too. Mm-hmm. So all of it. Like, what's feeling good today, and what are you moving towards?
What feels good today is knowing that I'm now back in a place where I want to have a partnership. I think for a long time, I was just so afraid of that. Like I said, which is why I haven't, like, been in a relationship since 2021. I've dated, but like I haven't been like in a real like boyfriend, girlfriend relationship. So I think being in a place where I want that again for myself, I think that's exciting. And breaking down the walls of fear is like also exciting. I'm still figuring a lot of things out. Like I said, like the attention has like grown a bit more since this album has dropped. So like a big, or maybe the fear comes in like, what do I do with it in that sense? Recognizing, knowing that it's a problem, recognizing that it's coming my way and just figuring out how to work that out. But I wouldn't even say love, my love life is what's most exciting in my life right now. Like, and I'm okay with that. I think there's like other things I want to accomplish, even outside of music, you know? Like I'm very much like consumed with like alternative like forms of like renewable energy and energy generation and like free energy and everything. And like aligning myself with people who are actually trying to save this world, you know? And I think that feels like that goal feels bigger than like my life. Like I think my life is for me to enjoy it, but it's like, because I'm eventually gonna like die later, it's kind of like your impact on this planet. And I think my impact is like consuming me more than like my own personal gain or pleasures at the moment. Yeah. And I think when that time happens, maybe in that journey, like I'll find somebody and it'll be like, like you'll be amazing. And I have to have faith that that's gonna happen. But it seems like this whole relationship thing isn't like working out at the moment, or at least in a while. And like I'm better, like I have more tools to work through it and like call out when I'm having like these fuckboy thoughts. But I don't know, I think I just have to figure out ways to work through these like feelings of being lonely feelings, I suppose, and find out how to like love myself, how to date myself, how to like enjoy my time, you know? And then just really focus. I don't know if that's healthy or not, but I don't know. I just feel like I'm being called that way right now.
I could ask you a million more questions, but I'm sure everybody here wearing their socks and sweaters is like, shut up. We are hot. So the question I do want to ask is, speaking of time, you have had an incredible year this year.
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah.
Once in a lifetime dream come true, and it's continuing.
Yes.
Tell us about all the cool things that are happening and where you want people to go to learn more about you.
See, like we said, I dropped this album, All American Fuckboy, and the conversations that I've been having, including this one today, we're literally sitting in what I wanted. Like, what's happening now is what I wanted from this album. That's the success of this album, is the conversations. It's the things that give me purpose. It's the things that like create some type of change, make people think, make people talk, piss people off, make people happy, make people feel seen, whatever. Like, this is the success of it. And I am like thrilled. Like even you like hitting me up, I'm like, damn, that's really cool, you know? I don't even know that you listen to my music or anything, but it's like, everything is like aligning, you know? And the conversations are happening. And like, I hope there's more conversations even outside of me, you know? But that, and I feel like this album unlocks something in my mind where it's like, I don't wanna make passive art anymore. And I loved all my creations before. They were amazing, they were beautiful, and I felt so free doing them. I just felt that sometimes the subject matters were a little bit more passive than I wanted them to be. And like, I would rather like make art that has like a purpose and has depth, you know? Because I think like it's vanity to make things right now that don't have depth, because look at America right now, like it's insane. It feels like a movie. So I feel so empowered to have dropped this project, and I'm excited, even outside of like these 21 tracks, what comes after the 21 tracks, you know? That's, once again, is making me feel fulfilled. And then getting ready to tour this album.
By far the best answer I've ever gotten to the like, what do you have coming up question? Yeah. By far the best answer to that. And I actually think that no longer creating passive art feels like a good ending to say, like, no more passive intimacy either.
Yeah. You did that.
You ate with that. You ate with that. Yeah.
Thank you. This is such a joy. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
A big shout out to Duckworth for letting us into the mind of a recovering fuckboy. You can find him on socials at DUCKWRTH on IG, YouTube, Facebook, X, and of course on Spotify. Go listen to his music. If you're not familiar with his music, I genuinely recommend, as my husband genuinely recommended it to me. And since Jared is the reason I got hip to him, and Jared also happens to be a recovering F-boy, I wanted to debrief on what we both took from this conversation together.
Oh yeah, of course. You know I'm always show up. And you know, sidebar, I just gotta say that there's few artists that inspire me. I like a lot of people's music, but there's few artists, when I hear their album or their music, I get inspired to create. That's exactly what Duckworth's music does for me. So I'm excited to be a part of this discussion.
Well, you know I have thoughts, so I get kicked off. You have your album you never put out.
Yeah.
But I get to listen to it all the time. And in the intro song, you have this skit where you're having an argument with somebody who you're probably a fuckboy to.
Yeah.
And you say to them, like, I can't switch up for you. I have to do it for myself.
Yeah.
And which is indicative of the fact that change is not something that you think. It's not a change of mind. It has to be a change of feeling.
Yeah.
Like, you have to change your feelings toward it. And in order to change your feelings about something and then change your behavior, you have to also be privy to the hidden competing agreements. And I thought that Duckworth did a really great job of that. And that's why, you know, he went to therapy and did the work. But until you actually kind of know the real reason
of why you're operating that way. As a prior fuckboy myself, I know for me, until I understood or saw the benefits of a healthy relationship, I didn't desire to have one. And so until I started to get into a relationship with you where I started seeing the benefits of what it's like to be close to someone that you're honest with, close to someone that gets you, close to someone that you want to honor and respect, and you get that closeness with somebody, it makes, at least for me, it made me go, how do I start approaching this relationship in the healthiest way so that it stays this way?
Because I actually don't think I changed you. I think that before you came into the relationship, you decided you were not going to be dishonest with women because it wasn't worth the drama.
Yeah.
Because I remember you used to tell me at nausea, you're back here. You're back here.
I didn't say it like
that. You didn't say it like that, but you're like, this is not going to be more. We started out as, you know, as fuck buddies, and you would consistently repeat to me.
Yeah.
So you were, there was no part of you that was interested in creating the fantasy.
Yeah.
You were like, this is my capacity. This is where I can have you. And I'm like, cool, that's my capacity. That's where I can have you too. And even though we both agreed on that in the beginning, you still kept reinforcing it for months afterwards.
I think for me, the big switch to make me go into every relationship that I was trying to build as like, this is where I'm at type thing, I think I was just exhausted of women placing expectations on what I would be or who I was to them. And I just wanted, and I remember feeling, you know, when I would hurt them or they would find something, there was like a betrayal in the way that they viewed me of like, you weren't the person that I thought you were. Kind of like what you were saying to, what Duckworth was saying was like, you know, women that are attracted to me are a little bit more educated. And then when they find out that I did the same thing to them, they were shocked because I wasn't supposed to be the one to do that. And that's their reaction to me. If I would hurt them, it would be like, this is a whole different version of you that I didn't know. And I just was like, I don't want to feel that anymore. I just rather them tell me now, do you want to fuck with this mess or nah, you know? And so that, I think that's the way that I was approaching it. And it didn't always work out. Some people were like, deuces.
Can I ask the $1 million question then? Do you think that a fuckboy can change because he meets the right person?
People are not gonna like this answer, but yeah, I do. And I know it's like, if I was giving advice to somebody, I would say, don't bank on that for sure. But I think that when a guy gets into a relationship and feels that healthiness, if he can make it to that point without being a fuckboy and damaging the relationship, and he can see how good this person is in regards to the way that they make them, they call them higher, they're gonna wanna continue to rise to that occasion. Is that going to last? I don't know. I'm sure once a fuckboy, there's always gonna be fuckboy tendencies that come in. But I think the right person can get someone to focus up. You hear about it all the time, but maybe I'm wrong.
You're not, I mean, I guess that's the beauty of this interview was that there wasn't a single clean answer. There was an invitation for exploration, and then there was clear points of where to explore.
Yeah.
You know, mother wounds, father wounds, addiction to love, addiction to sex. And some people have negative opinions about the words addiction and sex and love being put together.
Yeah.
But I think anything that you do repeatedly that you don't want to do, you can label as an addiction. When you actively don't want to do something, but you can't stop yourself from getting on that ride. But I'm not saying that from like a DSM-5 standpoint.
Well, that's important for people to answer for themselves, if the person who is the fuckboy.
And the reason why I think that I don't think it's partner dependent, because I am 40 now.
Yeah.
And all throughout...
I'm still being a fuckboy. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm not. I never was with you. And you never were with me.
Yeah.
And I love that.
Yeah.
But all throughout, you know, my 20s, when I turned 30, I met you at 30, 31.
Yeah.
But I had great connections from that point on. There was a different intention. And I also was able to snuff out love bombing, Dennis theory, gaslighting, manipulators, people who use reductions really quick.
Yeah.
In my 20s, I couldn't.
Yeah.
So I dated a lot of Marios and Duckworths. And now that I'm 40 and I can check back on those people on social media, I literally don't know one who's in a relationship. I don't know one who's married.
Yeah.
I don't. So, like, that just tells me, like...
Everybody else can sniff it out, too.
Or, like, hey, if it is, like... I have this. This might be a bad comparison. This might be a community-only statement here, but...
Want to hear the full conversation? Join the Lovers by Shan community. Just hit the link in the description.
Jared Brady, babe, husband, best friend, business partner, father of my children. Thank you for being here, as always. For those of you watching, if this conversation felt a little short, that's because it was longer. We just had to cut it down because we like to keep our episodes at around 45 to 1 hour. Mind the sound right here. It's about to pass us by. In 5, 4, 3,
damn it, UPS.
2, 1. I love UPS. Don't hate on UPS. They bring the goods. If you enjoyed this conversation and want more of it, go over to loversbyshan.com because we included the full unedited chat that we had, including all the things that we probably shouldn't have said. But we get to have a discourse amongst community members where we can really get to the heart of what we're trying to say, even if the wording was wrong. So I trust that we can do that together. For everybody else, I will see you next week on the podcast. Bye.
Big shout out to the Lovers by Shan community. This is a space I created for people who love love. It's for those of us who are passionate about reaching our intimate potential. On my site, you're going to find an AI trained on 20 years of my work where you can ask any questions. You'll also find free quizzes and resources, plus a place to sign up for my weekly newsletter, and last, but certainly not least, information on the Lovers by Shan community. If you want to be a part of intimate conversations just like the one you just saw, join the waitlist, and hopefully I'll meet you soon, lover.